We have a real treat with us today, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Every time we get together and we gather with the right heart, the right motivation, you know, the Lord's going to show up where he's wanted. How many love the presence of the Lord? That's the most important thing, isn't it? Because if we don't have the Lord, what's the point? And then we have dead religion, right? But we're looking for the substance, which is Christ. And hallelujah, he's the life-giving Spirit. And he's with us in his Spirit today. How many sense the Lord, the presence of the Lord here today? Amen. The rest of you, we're going to be praying for you afterwards. So, hallelujah. Can we just all lift our hands to the Lord and worship the God of heaven? He's here. His Spirit is here among us today. If you're carrying a heavy burden today, God wants to lift it off of you. The Bible says, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. God wants you to be free. Free from fear, free from shame, free from condemnation. Oh God, we thank you for the liberation that you've brought to us through the sacrifice of Jesus, for the blood has availed and overcome. You have overcome the world, Lord. And you have sent your Spirit. Hallelujah. And we welcome you, Holy Spirit. Come, have your way with each one of us today, Lord God. Captivate us. Draw us in to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just worship. Just offer as incense, a sweet, fragrant offering of praise to the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. From your own heart. From your own reservoir, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord, and we thank you for all you've done for us, Lord. Hallelujah. We don't deserve you, but you love us anyways. Thank you for being there for us, Lord. Father, forgive us. The times we ignore you, Lord, we don't pay attention to your promptings, your wooings, Lord, to call us into fellowship, that our hearts may rejoice, that our hearts may be refreshed and renewed and restored, Lord. We come to you today, Lord, because we need you. God, we need healing, we need deliverance, and we need salvation. God, manifest your presence here in every heart, every life, Lord. Let our hearts, every one of us, be changed. Let us be renewed. Let us be restored. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And to God be the glory. Hallelujah. And to God be the glory. Hallelujah. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Psalms 100 says you come before his presence with thanksgiving. Amen. With singing. And then you enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving. His courts with praise. Thanksgiving is the password. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me, to me. Would you tell them? Let's sing it. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. Hallelujah. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're sick today, in body and mind, whatever it might be, lay your hand on that part of your body right now, if you can. Just lay your hand on that part of the body. And we command all manner of sickness and disease and all spirits that would cause sickness or disease, all tormenting spirits, we take authority over you in the authority of Jesus Christ. We bind you and we command you to loose them right now. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be free in Jesus' name. We receive that today. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. He saved my soul and He made me whole. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Come on. Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. He saved my soul and He made me whole. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. All right. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed to let you know. I want this light in me to show. I'm not ashamed to speak the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed to let you know. I want this light in me to show. I'm not ashamed to speak the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You love Him, you confess Him, right? You confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. Hallelujah. But if you deny me, I will deny you before the Father as well. So, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's interesting. Hallelujah. The title of the message today is Jacob, I Have Loved. Wow. Scripture reading from Genesis chapter 25, verse 29. Now, Holy Spirit, I ask you to help me. Give me what I need to say right now, Lord. I trust you in Jesus' name. Now, Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary. Therefore, his name was called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. And Esau said, look, I am about to die. So what is this birthright to me? Then Jacob said, swear to me as of this day. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now the name Jacob means heel catcher. So remember when they were born, he had a grip on Esau's heel. Amen. And of course, Esau was the firstborn. And so the firstborn would have the largest portion, amen, of an inheritance, the birthright. And Jacob was more interested, amen, in that birthright than Esau was. As a matter of fact, Esau just very easily gave it up just for some temporary satisfaction. And the word Jacob also means, the name means someone taking the place of another through force. That's what supplanter means. Or scheming or strategy. So basically, Jacob, all right, was a con artist. He was a schemer. He was looking at ways to take advantage of others, and he took advantage of his brother in a time of his weakness. And so, by all indications, Esau was a more faithful son to his father, Isaac, right? And he would hunt, and he would, you know, do the things that pleased his father. And Jacob was more of, I don't want to say quite like that, but like a mama's boy, hang out with mom more than he did with dad. But Esau was the favored son in a lot of ways with Isaac. And so you have one son that seems to demonstrate a little more integrity. And the one with the least amount of integrity was Jacob. And he was a supplanter. He was a heel catcher. And he, again, was a schemer. He was looking for ways to get over. And it's interesting that God himself said this, and we're going to get into it a little bit. Romans 9:13, as it is written, it says, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. Now, how could God love Jacob? What we need to understand is that these two sons represent two natures, one being the flesh and the other being the spirit. Okay? All of us naturally have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Some people's sins are a little more obvious than others, but everybody was born in sin, amen, and separated from God. And that's why Jesus came, right? To reconcile us back to God, to restore fellowship with the Father once again. And so both of these sons were sinful, except one was a little bit more maybe obvious about it, or maybe even not so obvious, but more subtle. But at the same time, he was known for what he did. And Esau seemed, in the natural at least, to be a better son. And God says, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. Well, what was it that attracted God to Jacob? Was it the fact that Jacob was attracted to God? Could it be that Jacob esteemed the things of God as greater riches than that which the world could give him? You see, the birthright really speaks of a spiritual principle, doesn't it? It's really speaking of the eternal things of God. All right? There are those who are more concerned about their spiritual life than those, you know, than their flesh. In other words, they're more willing to sacrifice their flesh that they might grow spiritually. They're more willing to deny themselves that they may take up their cross and follow Jesus. They're going to esteem the things of God above even their own desires in their flesh. They're willing to deny themselves for Jesus. So God is looking beyond just the surface of things. And even here in this situation, they were both sinful, and God saw that in both of them. Amen. But God was looking past Jacob's failures and his sin to the heart of Jacob. And he saw something in Jacob that Esau did not possess. And that is that Jacob was more concerned about the things of God than Esau was, even though they were both sinners. So by nature, both Jacob and Esau were sinners. Yet one seemed to find favor with God. Why? Because God sees the heart. Now, we know that the only one that can change our hearts is the Lord, right? Only God can change our hearts. So when our hearts change, then our behaviors change, not the other way around. And sometimes we think that we have to make all these changes before we can come to God and even receive from God. Mm-hmm. And some people are still in the process of reaching perfection before they're going to be qualified to ask God for anything or receive by faith anything from God. Are you hearing me? The devil will use your sin against you. He will remind you of your shortcomings and your failures, because what he wants to do is he wants to rob you of your faith, your confident assurance that God will receive you if you will come to him in faith. Amen. And know that what you really need is his presence. Because it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that we have victory over our sin nature. So it's don't get the cart before the horse. Amen. You don't take a shower right before you take a bath. You need to come to the only one that can clean you up. Amen. So we come to the Lord all the same way. We're all sinful by nature. Amen. And our human nature, that is. And the only way that we can be reconciled is through Jesus and through his sacrifice, through his blood. God has made available to us the forgiveness of sins, which once again, it means the cancellation of the debt that we owed because we had transgressed the law of God, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So the only way for anyone to be saved is to come through the only way, and that is Jesus. So we can't compare ourselves with other people. And understand this, that we're all disqualified because of sin. And the only way we can be reconciled is through the gift of God in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So God sees you as you really are. He sees the heart of all people. But he saw something in Jacob that got his attention. And that is, even though Jacob was sinful, he had a heart for the greater things. He had a heart for the superior things of God. He was willing to compromise, amen, or to trade the inferior for the superior. When the heart changes, then the nature changes. And that's what God did in Jacob's life. But it didn't begin there. It began with God reaching out to this lost sinner. In mercy, amen, God saved Jacob. So before there was ever a behavior change, there was first a heart that desired to know God. And he was more concerned about the things of God. See, Jacob hungered for God's favor and his blessing. And you say, well, it was just a birthright. It was an earthly birthright. But there's a principle here. And we know through Scripture that actually Jacob was hungry for God. Jacob had a heart for God. Jacob was a desperate man for God. He was desperate for the presence. He was desperate for the blessing of God. Are you hearing me, somebody? You know where this is going. Esau, on the other hand, despised his birthright. He treated it lightly. He wasn't so concerned about the things of God. He was more concerned about temporary satisfaction in this world. Truly a natural man that only pursues the things of this world. Birthright means a right or privilege or possession to which a person is entitled by birth. So Esau, again, was entitled to certain rights and privileges because he was the firstborn son of Isaac. And yet, he lightly esteemed this entitlement. Jacob, on the other hand, was willing even to cheat to get it. Jacob I have loved, Esau I have hated. You say, well, God hated Esau. We'll get into that. Now, this had already been prophesied to Isaac and Rebekah previously in Genesis 25:21. Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. But the children struggled together. Who is that? Jacob and Esau within her. The flesh and the spirit are in conflict, aren't they? The outer man versus the inner man. All right. And she said, if all is well, why am I like this? So she went to inquire of the Lord. And verse 23, the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. This was different. This was not the traditional order of things. It was always the firstborn. But in this case, the older was going to serve the younger. Now, was God being unfair when he said this? Not at all. Why? Because, again, God sees the heart. Amen? And therefore, he judges according to the heart. Esau despised his birthright. He was preoccupied, again, with the temporary things of God. But if a person lightly esteems the things of God, then they will receive from God accordingly. How many really love the Lord? You love his presence. How many are really interested in the things of God also? Amen. I want to know his ways. Amen. I want to receive of all of his gifts. Amen. Should we desire spiritual gifts? The Bible says we should actually covet earnestly the gifts. Amen. Pursue God or pursue love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, the things of God. So we see the two natures. Esau was interested in temporary, the worldly, you know, things. And yet Jacob wanted the birthright. He wanted the eternal blessings and the benefits of God. So what happened is Esau chose the inferior over the superior. And the same thing is happening today. Many people will deny the things of God because they're more interested in just living a happy, fulfilled life in this world, and their focus or their treasure is in this world. And as I've been saying many times over, that, you know, you don't invest in a bank that's going bankrupt. Amen. You don't get on a boat that's full of holes that's going to sink. Amen. Don't invest in something that is not going to last forever. Sow, amen, into the kingdom. Sow in eternity. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Amen. Because that's the only security that there is in the Lord. God can keep that which we have committed unto him against that day. And that means my soul can be secure in my God. Amen. Because I committed my life to him. And God can keep that. Hebrews 12:16 says, make sure that no one is immoral or godless like Esau, who traded his birthright as the firstborn son for a single meal. You know that afterward, when he wanted his father's blessing, he was rejected. Hear it. It was too late for repentance, even though he begged with bitter tears. He had squandered his inheritance for a bowl of lentil stew, temporary satisfaction. Why did God look on Jacob with favor? Because he saw the heart of Jacob was for the eternal things versus the man of the flesh. How many know that you and I, if we're in Christ, we have a new nature, amen, but we also have that old flesh. And we have to decide every day what we're going to sow to, what we're going to live according to, our flesh or be led of the Spirit. Amen. God takes note of those who have a heart for him. Those who hunger and thirst for him will be satisfied. They will be filled. Hallelujah. And even though we fail, we fall short at times, amen, we make mistakes, yes, we sin even as believers, God sees the heart. David was a sinful man, but God saw the heart of David. He was a man after God's own heart. David was a worshiper. Amen. David esteemed the things of God above his own interests. David wanted to know the Lord personally. David was willing to do all of God's good pleasure. Not just some, but all. So the preference really for Jacob is interpreted as an act of love. Whereas bypassing Esau is seen as hatred by comparison, as a contrast there. So God's hatred of Esau doesn't mean that the descendants of Esau, okay, can't be saved any more than the love of Israel means that individual Jews don't need to be saved. Both Jews and Gentiles must be born again. Amen. All people must come to Jesus. He's the only way. So in Genesis 33, we did see that Esau had received even some earthly blessings. He wasn't completely forsaken. And that was when Jacob had met up with him later on in life. In Genesis 33:9, Esau even said to Jacob after he had gifted him, I have enough, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself. Now, all of us are invited to Christ to share in the inheritance. And unfortunately, some people despise or lightly esteem, just like Esau, the things of God. God hates this attitude. We were created for him. We were made for God. To live a normal life is to live a life in fellowship with your Creator. He invites us into this fellowship, and he made it possible through the sacrifice of Jesus. So by the blood of Jesus, we can with confidence now come to our Father. Amen. 24/7. You don't even have to show up for church to encounter God. Amen. Because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are carriers of his presence. He is with us, is he not? And the heart that seeks him will be richly rewarded with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. You know, even though a person may be rough around the edges, God sees the heart of the one who desires him. Anybody beside myself a little rough around the edges? And if you don't think you are, the Holy Spirit will deal with you. We're all a work in progress. See, the enemy wants to get people into condemnation because I'm not as spiritual or not as holy as Joe or whatever. And he wants to get us into competition, into comparing. And God just says, don't worry about what your brother's doing. You need to come to me, amen, and let's settle things right here and right now. God is not willing that anyone should perish. God wants to forgive all people. God wants to share his kingdom with all, amen. But all who come to him must come to him in repentance. That means I am done with my fleshly, earthly, temporal life. I am now committing my life to Jesus and to his will and to his kingdom to live the rest of my days for the one who died for me and rose again. Amen. That is abundant life. Abundant life is dwelling in and abiding in Jesus and doing life together with Jesus. Amen. And being an expression of God's heart in this world for Jesus. That is where real life is. Amen. How many know that he is a life-giving spirit and the Lord is exciting? Hallelujah. Even though we may be rough around the edges, God does see the heart of those who seek him, those who desire him. You know, God will show up where he's welcomed, where he's wanted. He won't kick the door down. He won't intrude on you in the sense that he may convict you. But he wants a willing heart. He wants a person who is willing to come to him, that's willing to open their heart and willing to invite him in and willing to have fellowship with him and willing to do life together with him. Amen. Because this is a relationship. This is a marriage. We are married to Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the heavenly bridegroom and we are the bride. And he's brought us together through his blood into a covenant. Amen. Hallelujah. So we can enjoy all the treasures and all the goodness and all who he is and all that he has. Can become ours, hallelujah, through this marriage union. Everything he has is mine. Everything I have is now his. I'm in covenant with the Lord, hallelujah. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So God saw in Jacob a man who was willing to do anything to receive his blessing. Mm-hmm. He was desperate for the presence and favor of God. Even though in his flesh he was a con artist, in Genesis 32, we see this supplanter wrestling with the angel of the Lord till the break of day. Remember that? At Bethel. In Genesis 32:24, then Jacob was left alone. And a man, it says, wrestled with him until the breaking of a day. Now, when he had saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. I love that. I will not let you go unless you bless me. What does that show? A heart that was desperate for God and for his blessing and for his favor, for his approval. He said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob, supplanter, con man. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. He says, I'm giving you a new name. And with that new name comes a new nature. You once were a con artist. You once were lost in sin. But now you have prevailed. You have overcome the world. Even as the Lord has overcome. Amen. And your name shall now be called Prince with God. Israel. Isn't that awesome? Do you understand that's who we are in the identity? In Christ. Princes with God. Hallelujah. Sons. John 1:12, to as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons, little s, sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And how do we know that this was an encounter with the Lord? Was this just an angel? It says it was an angel, but it was a man who wrestled with him. This is what we call a Christophany. And throughout the scriptures, we see where the pre-incarnate Christ had appeared to men. Amen. But not in the form of Adam, but he had appeared on the earth and often referred to as the angel of the Lord. Now, angel means messenger. Okay, so we get this idea of wings and, you know, the angels. But yes, there are different orders of angelic beings, but the Son is different than the rest of them. Amen. Because he is actually one with the Father. He is the Word, God the Word, that became God the Son. Amen. The Son of God and the Son of Man. Adam, likeness, amen, earthly and heavenly. The God-man, Christ Jesus, who represents us in heaven, hallelujah, as our great high priest. So, look at John 1:51. Jesus said this. Well, let's go back to Genesis 28:12. Then Jacob dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Now, again, how do we know that this was an encounter with the Lord himself? John 1:51, Jesus said, and he said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open. Is heaven open today? Heaven is open today. When Jesus died on that cross, amen, the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom, amen. And some believe it was diagonal, amen. But that way had been opened into the most holy heaven is now open to us. And we can come with confidence by the blood of Jesus to our Father's throne of grace. Isn't that good news? Amen. It says you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon what? The Son of Man. What does it mean? Jesus is the stairway to heaven. He's the ladder. He's the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. Sometimes we get this idea, guys, listen, stay with me, that we must work out all the gigs in our lives before we can come to God and be accepted and receive from him. How many know that's bondage? How many know it's God who begins a good work in you, who is faithful to complete it? And there is a process called sanctification. And God is working out the gigs in your life. But what God wants you to do is to come to him with confidence today, because the blood of Jesus has been shed for you and has made available to you all that heaven has to offer. Amen. God wants you to come with confidence, not in your own righteousness, but in the righteousness of Jesus, that you may come to him and receive the help that you need to get control over your flesh. And make your body mind you. Take charge. Amen. Because God gives you the power by his Holy Spirit to do that. So don't wait until you're perfect, because you'll never get there. Not in this world. Don't try to work out all the gigs first. Just come to God like we all have to. Say, Lord, I'm just a broken man. I'm a weak man. I don't have the strength that I need, but you are the strength of my life. Lord, I know I can't, but I know you can, and I can do all things through you, who you are the strength of my life. Amen. My confidence is not in my flesh or in my ability to be holy. My confidence is in Christ and his holiness, his righteousness, his goodness. Amen. I do not put any confidence in my flesh. Because if you try to be righteous in yourself, you will continue to fail and fall on your face. Why? Because you and I do not have the strength. We don't have the ability or the power to live a holy life. We need the presence of God. We need to be gluttons for the presence of God. We need to be desperate for the presence of God. We need the power of the Holy Spirit, amen, moving in our lives, hallelujah. We need to be in harmony with God, amen, so that we have the ability by his Spirit to overcome this outer man and to shine for Jesus. Amen. And people will see Christ. They'll see the flesh. They'll see the imperfections. They'll see the quirks, the idiosyncrasies, whatever it is. They'll see that, but they'll also know that there's something different about you. You possess something, you carry something that they don't have. And I give you Jesus. I don't give you me, I give you Jesus. He's who you need. We cannot come to God based on our own righteousness. It's only by the imputed righteousness of the Lord we can come before God. It's only by the blood of Jesus that we are qualified to approach His throne. Hear me. What God really hates is the attitude of those who do not esteem His presence, His power, or blessing as being worthy of their time and attention. I'll say it again. This is what God hates. He hates the attitude of those who do not esteem His presence, power, blessing as being worthy of their time and attention. Some people, like Esau, will despise the riches of God's blessings and favor for the temporary things of this life. God wants to endue every one of us with His spiritual enablements so that we may manifest His supernatural power. This is a gospel of power. This is just not an intellectual gospel of attaining and gathering more information. We gain information about God so we may know Him. Amen. It's the written word that brings us to the living word. It's all about a relationship. It's all about walking with God in the Spirit every day and manifesting His presence. Amen. In every place where we go, God wants to use every one of us as an expression of His heart in this world. And you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you shall be my witnesses. Amen. The only way we can witness is by the power of God. People don't need us. They need the power of God. They need to see the reality of the kingdom that is among you through the signs and the wonders and the miracles and changed hearts and changed lives and reconciled marriages. Praise God. Do it, Lord. Hungry people will search for food. Those who are hungry for God are those who have lost their appetite for worldly things. What does God do? He whets our appetite with His blessings. Why does He bless us? Amen. But He also blesses us to whet our appetite. And He blesses us so that we will look past the blessing and to the heart of Him that blessed us and see the love that the Father has bestowed upon us, that we would desire Him. Not just the things of God, but God Himself. I want to know the Lord. You can't love a God who is not lovely. You can't love a God that's not loving. And the more that you get to know the love of God, the more you love God. The more you see and you realize how much He loved you and first loved you and gave Himself for you, suffered for you, so you could be with Him, the more you want to love this God and know this God. You know, 1 Corinthians 14, when I'm almost finished, pursue love, it says, and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. And again, that word means, desire means covet earnestly. And again, it's not about choosing between, well, I'll be more loving. You can have the gifts. I'll just be more loving. No, we pursue God who is love. Amen. And desire that He would grace us, enable us with all of His good gifts. Amen. Why? Because we need the gifts. People need the gifts. Amen. And we want the gifts so that we can help people because we love people. Amen. Like Jesus loved people and ministered to people and healed the sick and cast out demons. Amen. We love people because we love them with the love of the Lord that's within us. So we should ask for these things. We should seek these things. So that's what Jacob's heart was like. See, even though he was rough around the edges, he had a heart that pursued the things of God even. God's not looking for superstars or Christian celebrities, but humble, hungry, willing, available, imperfect vessels. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. To display His power and love through. You want to know why a lot of people don't come to God? Because they just feel self-condemned all the time. They feel that God would never do anything for me because I'm too rotten. Well, God loved you while you were rotten. Amen. He knows you better than you know yourself. Amen. And he sees, amen, things that we may not even know about ourselves. He sees it all. Be an open book. Just be honest with God. Come to him and say, Lord, do what you got to do in me. Amen. Root out of me anything, Lord, that would defile. Topple any idol in my heart, God. I want a heart only for you. I want a heart like David. Amen. A worshiper. Hallelujah. And I want to know your love. I want to know your presence, and I want to make you known, and I want every one of the good gifts that you have, amen, because that's how people will know, hallelujah, there's more to you. You can win an intellectual debate, amen, but when God shows up, hallelujah, and somebody is healed, when God shows up and shows you something or speaks to you about something that you couldn't have known about a person, and you speak that word to them, they're going to say, how did you know that? When somebody notices, hallelujah, that somebody that was once bound by sin or bound by the devil gets freedom, gets deliverance, amen, the devil gets cast out of them, they know a greater has come on the scene, amen. And Jesus wants to manifest his presence here and now in this world, amen, because this is not an intellectual gospel, it's a gospel of power. And God will use the least likely to do these things, amen. He'll use the ordinary to do the extraordinary. He's not a respecter of persons. Oh, they're just special Christians. They're super Christians. No, they're not. There's only one superstar up in here, and that's Jesus, amen. 1 Corinthians, here we all go, chapter 1, verse 26. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in this world's eyes. Here it is. Or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Maybe crackhead, meth head, whatever. Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful, at least in their own eyes. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and use them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. I say it so often, you're either up and out or down and out. But without Jesus, you're out. We all have to come to him, amen. And he didn't say, if you do all these things, now you can come to me and rest. He said, just come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, amen. And I will give you rest. God wants you to know the rest of God in your soul. He wants you to know the peace that passes all understanding. He wants you to know his perfect love that will cast out all fear. Amen. We are complete in Christ, in whom dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Today is the day of salvation. Would you bow your heads? Has God been speaking to you this morning? Maybe you've been feeling condemned or unworthy, or that how could God use me, or how could God even love me? I'm so rotten. Just stop it. You need to call on the only one that can rescue you, that can help you, that can deliver you. As you humble yourself before him today and say, Lord, I know that I'm a mess. I'm asking you to help me. I'm asking you to forgive me. I'm asking you to forgive me for all my sins, Lord. Would you do that right now, right where you're at? Admit it. Be honest with God. God sees the heart. He knows we're going to fail at times. Get back up. Get back in the race. Turn back to Jesus. Just call on him and say, Lord, help me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, save me. Lord, give me strength for the journey. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I ask you to impart to me all of your good gifts, that I may manifest your supernatural power in this world, that people will know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That you are the resurrection and the life. That people will know that you are the one who was raised from the dead. Hallelujah. That we might bear witness to the resurrection. Help me, Jesus. Just help me, Jesus, today. Hallelujah. God wants all of his people filled and operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. God wants you filled with his Holy Spirit and operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Do you have a heart for the things of God? Will you pursue love and earnestly desire or covet earnestly the gifts of his Spirit? Jesus told us to labor for the food that does not perish. He says, I am the bread of life. Come to me. Oh, Lord, thank you so much that you have opened the way for us to come today with confidence by way of the blood. Hallelujah. That you are willing to look past our fault and see our need. So we come to you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That's why 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, we have this treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Amen? God wants to use you. Amen? Pursue him. Seek and you'll find. Ask and you shall receive. Hallelujah. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Amen? Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and say, Lord, I ask you today to cleanse me from all unrighteousness and fill me to overflowing with your Holy Spirit and make me a vessel of honor for you. Use me for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.